The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Breaking news, get ready to see more moments like that at MSG from four-time All-Star guard Kemba Walker as he has agreed to a contract buyout from the Oklahoma City Thunder and upon clearing waivers, plans to sign with the New York Knicks, sources telling our Adrian Wojnarowski. Kemba had 2 years, $74 million left on his deal. So, Max,
yep.
What's your reaction to this news?
It's a good addition for the Knicks. Kemba Walker's a very popular guy in locker rooms around the league with fans. He is a tremendously skilled and talented player, but small. He's like a smaller version of Kyrie Irving, but a better locker room guy by reputation. He can do a lot of things to help a team on offense and with chemistry. But the Knicks, if you'll recall, not all that long ago, people were, you know, beating their chest. They're about to sign Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and this one and that one. And they wound up with no one. They wound up giving Julius Randle $10 million a year because no one else would take their money, couldn't give it away. Now, they've established a healthy culture with Tom Thibodeau. And I think that high-priced free agents will be much more interested in going to the Knicks. But, of course, the Knicks have no room to sign anyone now. And they better hope that their tradable assets are attractive enough to other teams that it can bundle a bunch of them together to eventually get a superstar, because no one on this roster would be confused with a superstar. Not Julius Randle, who's a nice player, who's now locked in long-term at enormous money. Not R.J. Barrett, who's also a nice player, who has a chance to develop into something better than that. But we're, you know, not Derrick Rose, who was once a special player and still a great sixth man. He's a tremendous player, but none of these guys are MVP best player or second best player on a championship team kind of guy. And Sam, that includes Kemba Walker. So it seems to me that there's a ceiling here on the way this team is constructed. And as a reformed Knicks fan, I can tell you, Knicks fans are used to it.
They may be used to it, but I will say, Max, this is a step in the right direction. You can't deny that. If I'm a superstar player, yes, they might not have the cap space right now, but I see Kemba Walker as my point guard. I get excited about that. I see Julius Randle, who's been playing well. I say, okay, I can play with that. I see Derrick Rose. I can mess with that. And so, yeah, I know KD may not have gone there in the past. I know you might not have seen Kyrie go there in the past. But now you're building a roster that if I'm a superstar player, I might could rock with a little bit. And so I think it's a step in the right direction, especially if we see 2018 Kemba, the Kemba back in Charlotte that was averaging 25 points a game, especially if we see that Kemba. We know who Kemba is in the locker room when it comes to culture. We know that. But if we see more offensive production from him like we saw back in his past, you might be able to build something special in New York with the Knicks. And so I understand it's not where we want to go right now if you're a Knicks fan, but you can't balk at this. You can't just kind of ignore this. It's like, hey, man, I like Kemba Walker with New York, with the other pieces you have around. R.J. Barrett, maybe he gets better. You have the pieces in place. All you do need, Max, to your point, is that superstar.
Kemba Walker, Emmanuel Quickley, Derrick Rose at this point in his career, R.J. Barrett, Julius Randle, Robinson, they have nice players. These are nice players. Guys that are easy to root for, who play hard, they're nice players. They will never sniff a conference championship, a conference finals appearance with this nucleus. They won't sniff a conference in the weaker conference. They won't sniff a conference finals appearance ever. So, like, you know, they need more, much more. And the question is, are these commodities now that they have, are they viewed that way as assets or liabilities? Is Julius Randle's contract, will Kemba Walker be looked at a year from now, right, at the trade deadline? Are these assets that can be credibly bundled together to get a better player? Because in the NBA, you never want to break a dollar into four quarters, but you sure want to turn four quarters into a dollar, right? Or are they going to be sitting in a situation in the not-too-distant future like, damn, if we had some cap room, we could make a move, but we're capped out. No one wants these guys.
Well, these are assets. I believe these are assets. I don't think you're going to see Kemba Walker and say, man, this is a liability. Otherwise, he wouldn't be going to the team right now. It's almost like what we saw with L.A. You saw a bunch of young players. It's like, man, are these assets liabilities? They didn't fit. all of a sudden bundled up and you get a superstar. And so I think that the New York Knicks have some assets on their team that you can bundle up, in fact, and get a superstar. I'm with you, Max. They are a superstar away, but you have a nucleus now.
Yeah, two superstars away, but okay.
And who might those superstars be? We'll see if they can.
Michael Jordan and Shaquille O'Neal. That'd be fine.
Yeah, we'll see if that happens. But, you know, that's actually a really a good transition because, you know, they're on the older end of things, of life, of age. You know, I don't want to insult anybody here, but experience over age is the mentality of the Lakers as they stack their roster for the upcoming campaign. Their biggest addition, 32-year-old Russell Westbrook. And then there's also 37-year-old Carmelo Anthony, who, by the way, is the same age as LeBron. AD, the final member of the newly founded Big Three, is 28. So this brings the age average down a bit, but listen to this, gentlemen. Once these moves become official, the Lakers will have 13 players on their roster, eight of whom are age 32 or older. The average age of the players projected to be on their roster, nearly 33 years old, putting LA on track to have the oldest team in NBA history. And I just mentioned in the bump, right now, Staples Center is being called the old folks' home. So, Sam, are the Lakers just too old?
I think they are. I really do. And it's not just because of age, because I think that with age comes experience. And I respect age. Max, as you know, I talked about LeBron and his experience. But I'm more concerned about the injuries. Like, that's where my issues come. One of your youngest superstars, AD, he's 28 years old, but he's been injury prone. He was out for 30 games last year. LeBron James, who's 36 years old, who's went to championship after championship after championship, he missed 26 last year. And then 2 years before, he missed 17 games in a row before he had to sit out the rest of the season. Carmelo Anthony, who we're glad that the Lakers fans are ecstatic right now. You got your shooter. He's 37. And so I'm not necessarily concerned about the age when it comes to experience. I'm more concerned about health. I'm high on the Lakers, but can they stay healthy? Max, you talk all the time about these hypothetical situations, assuming everybody in the world is healthy. We can't assume that. And so that's why you got to look at the age of these players and say, you know what? I think they're all talented. Russell Westbrook, 32 years old, super talented. But, man, when you start getting older, the wear and tear on your body, we saw it this year with the shortened offseason, people get injured. And so that's where my concerns come with this LA Lakers team. Are they talented? Yes. Are they old? I believe they're old, and that you're going to see it when it comes with some of the injuries that you're going to see this year.
That's right. You know, you can't deny that with age comes injury, although AD's always been injury prone. I don't know if his age has anything to do with it, and he's not old. He's in his prime, ostensibly. And Westbrook's been remarkably healthy, knock wood. And every year he's with new teammates on a new team. And in the first half, we're like, well, that's it. Age has caught up. And in the second half, we go, damn, this dude is like an MVP. So I expect that to continue. LeBron, two of the last 3 years, a normal Iron Man type guy, has missed large chunks, and they've missed the playoffs and not advanced in the playoffs because of it, right? And he couldn't, well, they missed AD, but also LeBron wasn't at 100%. That's legitimate. But if you need to list the reasons the Lakers may not win other than a healthy Nets team, I wouldn't say age is number one. The number one issue is the shooting. Because you have three players who are going to get the majority of the minutes, right? You have 48 minutes at each position, five positions, and you're going to get a huge chunk of those minutes at three positions, often playing on the floor at the same time, with a guy in Westbrook who doesn't shoot it well, a guy in LeBron James who shoots it average for his position, you'd say, in today's NBA, and a guy in AD who you might say the same. They don't have enough shooting there. The best shooter on the team in the starting lineup is Wayne Ellington. Unless you start Gasol, who at times, given the matchup, was a little unplayable in these playoffs. Dwight Howard's not a shooter, obviously. They need shooting. They picked up Trevor Ariza, Monk. They picked up some guys, but they need shooting. Like and if those guys shoot it well, but Talen Horton Tucker is their most valuable kind of commodity going forward. The guy with the most room for improvement who you believe can fulfill excellent potential. And he's not a shooter. So they really, like, he might wind up this year being the fourth best guy on the team, and he doesn't shoot it. So age, yes, but, like, if you're checking off age as the number one concern, I think you're overlooking the actual number one concern on this team.
Well, that's why you go and you add Carmelo, right? You add Carmelo. We know that Russell Westbrook drives. We know that LeBron at his best is going downhill. But you add a guy like Carmelo who can maybe expand the floor a little bit. And I understand shooting is still an issue, but I think LA is actually addressing the issue. Let's add Carmelo, THT, let's see what he can do. But we're making moves in the right direction. I think that, I mean, Milwaukee Bucks, they won the NBA championship this year. Their shooting wasn't excellent, and they found a way to win. Yes, you could talk about injuries, right? Injuries happen. But I think that Carmelo coming into this lineup with LeBron, with AD, who could take the last shot and help you win a game, with Russell Westbrook, I think is a formidable matchup. But age, in my opinion, is the biggest issue because, once again, it goes back to not only are you able to make the play, but are you available, right? Availability over ability. You could have the best shooters. If they're not available to shoot, it don't matter.
Carmelo was once a great scorer and is still an effective one. He's bad defensively, but he is not like a catch-and-shoot kind of guy. Like, one of the reasons it looked like he was out of the league for a second, and I was fooled into thinking it, is because the landscape shifted under his feet, and he was neither a three nor D guy. He could hit a three, but he's like on-ball monopolizing it, you know, running an offense. And so he didn't do any special thing well enough, people thought, to be a valuable role player. It turns out, actually, but he can still do everything well enough on offense to contribute. But that's not what I mean by he's not a catch-and-shoot three guy, which it's probably a pretty good idea to put on the floor with LeBron James and Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. Maybe not just another ball-dominant guy, right? They have issues in terms of fit and in terms of shooting, I think, that supersede age. I still like him out of the West. I said all that. I still like him out of the West.
Okay, well, the average age of the last 10 championship teams is 28.4. The Lakers, at this point, they're about 5 years above that. The last team to win a championship that was above the age of 30 as an average.
Bulls?
No, the Miami Heat, 2012, 2013, common denominator, LeBron James. See how it goes.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The Giants' first padded practice of training camp ended abruptly Tuesday when a team-wide brawl erupted that, get this, landed starting quarterback Daniel Jones on the bottom of the pile. Head coach Joe Judge could be heard delivering an expletive-laced tirade to his team after this fight, and then he had his team alternate running laps and doing push-ups. So here's reaction from the Giants.
First day of pads, gets physical, gets chippy. Obviously can't have penalties. It's unfortunate. But I think everyone's protecting their sides and just trying to establish physicality the first day. But we got to keep it, you know, within rules. I'm going to pay my punishments. I don't regret anything I did out there. I was protecting my guys. So at the end of the day, I'm a grown man and I pay my dues. That's what this league's about.
It's one of those things, again, like I said, you lose games for that reason alone. If anybody gets hurt down there, penalties, all those types of things, it's going to make you lose.
There's consequences for that kind of stuff, and that's the way it is in a game. You know, if you lose, you're cool. There's consequences. That hurts the team. So that was the message, and I think everyone understands that.
Okay, well, whether it's a front or not, the guys seem to be pretty cool about what happened. But, Max, I got to ask you, is it good the Giants are showing fight like this in practice?
Yeah, it could be. It could be good, as a matter of fact. I want to remind everybody of another high first-round draft pick at quarterback who wound up in a fight on the bottom of a pile in a fight with a defensive player in 2015. It was in Carolina, and it was Cam Newton and Josh Norman. And Cam wound up on the bottom of a pile. And all they did that year, the Panthers, was go on to play in the Super Bowl. I'm not saying this is exactly the same situation. There's no perfect analogy, no perfect parallel. But Phil Jackson talked about, in one of those books, is about the stages of team building, Sam. And there's a certain stage, it's like stage three, where guys want to improve. And they're in the process of coming together, us against the world, but it's still kind of individual. And I would apply two sayings to this. This is how the sausage is made, right? If you actually see it, you're like, oh, I don't know about this. But, you know, that's how it's made. And never show a fool half a job. You know, we're the fools, and this is half a job. Joe Judge's style of leadership from the head coaching position is fiery, right? And he's a disciplinarian, but obviously he gets his guys to buy into this idea because that would fall flat most of the time. But obviously his team believes that the coach is actually putting them in positions to win. He has to get them to buy into, actually, this guy wants me to succeed, right? That style's not going to work. And this is a team that's showing a lot of fight, a lot of passion, even the way it was addressed afterward. This is something that It doesn't have to happen again. But the fact that you see this at this point in a team's development that seems to be ascending is not necessarily a bad thing.
Max, let me go ahead. You're reaching. Like, you're like a little kid trying to reach to, like, a little, you know, the thing you do. You're reaching, Max. Like, let me just debunk a few of your theories. The 2015, Cam Newton was an MVP quarterback. No one's sitting here thinking that Daniel Jones is going to be an MVP quarterback. Ron Rivera is like coach of the year. No one's thinking that Joe Judge is going to be a coach of the year candidate, right? In the NFC, Ron Rivera was voted coach of the year. So let me, number one, that's number one. Number two, what we saw in 2015 wasn't a team-wide fight. You saw some people around the pile trying to pull away Josh Norman and pull away Cam Newton. That was different. This, what we saw yesterday, was the entire team. The entire team on the field, number two. So that's not a good look. Number three, you're doing up-downs. You're doing push-ups. You're having to run as an entire team in the NFL. Like, that's what we did in high school, dude. Like, in high school football, the whole team gets into a fight. All of a sudden, you do up-downs and you run. You're getting disciplined. In college, even, a big, large amount of the team gets into a fight. So why we do up-downs as a punishment? You are professional. So there's a difference if you're fighting in order to establish a pecking order. 2015, once again, Cam Newton, he's the top dog. Josh Norman's coming in. Hey, he's a good player too. Let me show you what I'm about. You establish a pecking order. You see who's who. I had times in my NFL career where you're going against a guy, you know, you get disrespected. You fight. You show that you are to be respected. But the entire team fighting, number one, not a good look. The quarterback at the bottom of the pile, number two.
I don't like that part either. I'd like the quarterback to not wind up at the bottom of the pile, for the record.
And number three, Max, to say that this is a good sign of things to come and this is the team showing fight and showing grit and coming together, that's not what I saw. That's not what I heard. What I heard was similar to a couple years ago when I was playing in Chicago, got into a fight with some guys. And they said, you know what, Sam? We're going to red dot you. What does that mean? We've got our target on you. So we're forsaking practice and we're going to try and get our shot back on you because you got your shot on us. That's what we're seeing in New York. There's no team building. There's no pecking order.
Well, I don't know. It's too early to say that.
No leadership.
Okay.
There's no leadership.
Okay. Let me hear this one. Where? With the players?
So if you've got a good leader when it comes to the coaching staff or the players, fights like this, team-wide fights don't happen. They just don't, Max. In the NFL, you'll get DBs going against corners, right? Okay, because you compete every single day, so y'all go against each other. You'll get O linemen going against D linemen. You compete every day. You might even get some linebackers going against running backs, but you're not getting the entire offense and the entire defense together. A good leader on that team would have stopped that fight before it got
started. This is what I mean by never show a fool half a job. I thought I was the fool, and we were the fools. You played, and now you're the fool, too? Look.
How am I the fool, Max? How am I the fool? Explain to me how I'm the fool here.
Because you may be right that they at that moment of that fight, they lacked the right kind of leadership in the locker room. The players did. You're right. But this is how the sausage gets made. This is not show the fool half a job. That doesn't mean that someone doesn't emerge. You have to give people the room to grow, a team the room to grow. You have to give young leaders a room to learn from experiences. And if you listen to the team, and we played some of the sound, after the fight, it seemed like a learning moment. It seemed like a moment that has rallied the team together instead of ripping them apart. That's what I mean. Like, we're all the fools on the outside who didn't play the game. But I think everyone can be fooled in this situation. Just because that doesn't exist at the moment the fight happened doesn't mean that can't exist by the end of this season.
Max, I played the game. I've seen fights. That's not a fight you want on your team, point blank period.
Yeah, it's not something that you want to see, but it was a small incident. The melee ensued. Daniel Jones said that he got involved for, quote, because he was part of the team. And he actually, apparently from his teammates, has earned some locker room credibility after he did so.
Oh, look at that. See, Sam, look at that.
There you have it. So this could be a good sign of leadership.
That's what I will say.
They're going to the Super Bowl this year, Max?
No, of course.
There's a fight?
No, but I think they can win the division. I think the Giants can win the NFC East.
Stop, Max, please. We ain't got time for this right now.
I also think that they're...
You don't want to get into this ditch, Max.
They can't do this again. If that happens again, I'll agree with you, but not just one time. No.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And now let's welcome in WWE superstar turned Hollywood superstar. He's playing the role of Peacemaker, as you can see, the highly anticipated DC film, The Suicide Squad, which hits theaters and streams exclusively on HBO Max this Friday. Ladies and gentlemen, he really needs no introduction. He is fully committed right here, Mr. John Cena. John, how you doing? We appreciate you going on out for the show.
Thank you very much. I broadcast live to you from the layer of peace. Don't confuse that with the layer of fight. They're closely correlated, but very different.
Max, you want to start?
What a cast. John Cena and Idris Elba. A shark? I saw a shark there. Directed by James Gunn. I'm in. What am I to expect here?
Here, expect the unexpected, and that's the crazy thing about The Suicide Squad. I've described this movie to everyone as like, well, what am I going to expect? The best way I can tell it is no one is ready to see this movie, but everyone needs the Suicide Squad in their life. They're going to be astounded and amazed when they go on this ride.
Well, John, you're known to be a nice guy. We all know that. But the character you're playing, Peacemaker, I know you to be a nice guy. But the character you're playing, Peacemaker, is a bully. How do you get into character to play such a role?
It's just, the definition starts with the costume, and then obviously James has a wonderful vision for all these characters, and it just kind of goes from there. We have a lot of fun, and we really riffed back and forth a lot, so a lot of outtakes, probably a lot of wasted film, but at the end, you get a really well-defined character who you may think is a bully. I just think maybe he's a little confused and misunderstood and needs some guidance.
Expect the unexpected. Sam, expect the unexpected. He's already been through that. Expect the unexpected.
Well, speaking of expecting the unexpected, 2 weeks ago, John, you returned for WWE's Money in the Bank. Everybody was surprised. Now, you know, a lot of times WWE can't really keep things a secret when it's news like this. So what was it like to hear the roar of the crowd making your return, and how did you manage to keep it so down low?
Oh, it was really special, and I traveled by envelope. The U.S. Postal Service is very easy to keep yourself a secret. The travel was a bit rough, but I made it on time, and it was awesome to be able to be in front of live audiences again. I've since been performing live for the WWE for the last few weeks now, doing all the shows, both televised and non, and it's going to culminate hopefully at an epic match in SummerSlam against Roman Reigns.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what I want to ask you about next. SummerSlam, you and Universal Champion Roman Reigns will be taking each other on. So what made you want to get back in the ring? Was there something that spoke to you, or was it something you had planned for a long time?
Oh, no, I've always wanted to be back. It's just when opportunities like this come along and I get to wear a wonderful
home, this.
You have to take it, and you just can't do both. And I think I've tried to be as vocal as I can explaining to fans that you cannot do both. When you film a movie, there's binding insurance, and they won't let you go back and forth. So I have a month now between the wrapping of Peacemaker and the shooting of Argyle over in the UK, and I wanted to return to my family. WWE is always my home. I'm a tried and true WWE superstar through and through. I always will be, and it's a place that I call home, and the audience is my family.
Well, one of the most famous wrestlers ever is like, there was a movie where I could dress up in a costume I couldn't say no to. You know, you got to go see the movie. John, I want to talk about the Lakers, though, because you're from Massachusetts, but you've been seen at Lakers games in Lakers gear. So first, so it's like a two-parter. Was that a heel turn, number one? And number two,
yes.
What do you think of the Lakers additions? What's your basketball analysis?
So, number one, according to whatever audience member you ask, I have turned evil so many times before, so that's up to perspective. Number two, we'll figure out how the Lakers do with all their acquisitions and whatnot. I'm really not in the mergers and acquisitions department. What I can say that I do love about the Lakers is they're 17-time champions. And that's the number I got my eyes set on. So, I'm really is number 17 for me as well.
Well, John, so you're known to be a Patriots fan, and Matt Damon recently came out and said that if the Patriots and the Buccaneers were playing in the Super Bowl, he would root for Tom Brady. Well, they play in Week 4. Who are you rooting for?
That's a good question.
I would say I would root for Tom Brady in a Patriots jersey. I would wear a Patriots jersey and root for Tom Brady. And there'd be some sort of exotic dip involved. Chips, certainly. Maybe some sort of like 12-layer queso.
Oh, I respect it. I respect it. Okay. Go ahead, Max.
Wait, I just need to, a little clarification. Does that mean that you root for Tom Brady to do well, but the Patriots to win? Or you flat out want Tom Brady to beat your team?
I don't have any stake of ownership in the New England Patriots. So
not yet.
Claim that they're my team. I thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, not yet.
Yay. But no, I just, I don't know. I'm not really a dedicated fan to a team. You know, New England fans are harsh, and I probably am stonewalling myself from ever returning to New England. But I just kind of like sports for the stories, as we all do. And when the stories are localized about Boston or New England sports, that region's fans get excited. And, of course, now the rivalry between the Patriots and Tom Brady makes that story a little more interweaved and more exciting. But I'm a storyteller, and I really like the dramatic atmosphere that sports uses as a backdrop, which is why I'm drawn to sports. But I can't bind myself to geography. I like to see teams excel, and I like to see certainly people like Tom Brady who can repeatedly excel at a sport, especially at his age and his output level. He's an anomaly. It's really something to watch him.
Listen to the eloquence and the sophistication in this getup. In this cut, like,
it's a very strange dichotomy, huh?
Well, I got
Baker was called a bully, and I said he was misunderstood, and I think now you guys get it.
Well, John, I got one more for you. Just because you said you're a storyteller, right? So we see you big, bad wrestler, actor, right? The whole thing. But for you, what do you think is the greatest story that you've got a chance to tell?
Well, I appreciate the big, bad actor comment because I would agree with you on half of that. I'm still trying to put some size on it, but the other half is good. I think it's our own story. And honestly, to get philosophical for a second, if I may, we all have our own story to tell, and we all live our own lives, and that should be important to the individual living their lives. I mean, you should be the lead character in your own movie, and life is kind of there for the taking, and I really am very proud of the story that I've been able to craft. And I know I'm just getting started. Hopefully there's a long way to go.
Okay, and John, I just have one quick thing I want to ask you. Who in WWE would you say you're most impressed with right now?
I always say the same thing. Vince McMahon, because he's so unpredictable. He keeps everybody in suspense. There's been a lot of crazy decisions lately. I don't know what the future of WWE will hold, but it's certainly exciting times, and I'm always impressed, especially returning by his work ethic, by his commitment, by his passion. So I got to say, Vince.
For this business to be going on like this long in entertainment and to have changed as much as it has through the years with the times, unbelievable.
Well, and listen, I remember every time after we'd finish up a show, I'd always run into his trainer in the lobby of the hotel, and he would be there getting ready for their midnight training session. So Vince McMahon stays busy. He stays working. He is certainly undefeated. So, John, thank you so much for joining us. And The Suicide Squad hits theaters and streams exclusively on HBO Max this Friday. And, of course, John, good luck at SummerSlam.
Thank you. I won't bring the costume, and I'm going to need all the luck I can get.
Perfect.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C.
D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The Ocho is back for the fifth straight year with even wackier events from around the world. This year's Air Hockey Invitational, Grocery Baggers Bowl, U.S. Mullet Championship, that's going to be a good one, U.S. Air Guitar Championships, and the Live World Cornhole Championship are just some of the events you will see. This is insane. The Ocho starting Friday at midnight and goes for 24 hours on ESPN2 and the app. You know the drill. One app, one tap. Jimmy Garoppolo took the 49ers all the way to the Super Bowl in 2019, but after an up-and-down performance in that game and an injury-plagued 2020 season, the team added Trey Lance with the third overall pick in April's draft. Jimmy G, however, responding well to the challenge. Here's John Lynch on his starting quarterback on the Adam Schefter podcast.
You know, him being here, I think, has brought the best out of Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy's a big-time competitor, and, you know, we haven't played a game yet, but he's playing his best football since he's been here, and he's played a lot of good football. You just look at his record. It's something everyone's recognizing. He's really playing at a high level, and that's what competitors do. When they're challenged, they rise to the occasion, and I think he's doing a great job of that. People say, well, what do you do if they're both playing great? That's another great problem to have, and we'll deal with that when it comes.
Okay, that again, John Lynch on the Adam Schefter podcast. Max, let's start with you. Who gives the 49ers a better chance at a deep playoff run, Jimmy G or is it Trey Lance?
Jimmy G. Let's not forget, Jimmy G, it's not just that he went 2-0 in New England or something. He wins three, including the playoffs, three times as much as he loses when he starts. But because he's been injured so much, we also have a large sample of times when he doesn't start. So there seems to be this impression that, you know, Shanahan could do this with anyone and he's so replaceable. Well, if that were the case, then they wouldn't lose three times as much as they win. Same team. It's like a perfect experiment. Same team. Take Jimmy Garoppolo off, replacement player right there. They go from winning three out of every four games they play to losing three out of every four games they play. He is making quick decisions. He's doing things that are helping the team, clearly. And I'll remind everyone, when last healthy for a whole season, he was in the Super Bowl, but not only in the Super Bowl, one pass away from beating Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. One pass away. Yeah, he didn't hit it. It was a perfectly designed play, just didn't hit Emmanuel Sanders. It's true. Maybe next time he does. Like, that's a 50-50 kind of thing with a lot of Garoppolo's only like 50-50 to hit a ball like that. Oh, okay. So next time he does, right? He gives him a chance. Now, let's take that. A guy who went last healthy for a season, was in the Super Bowl with a chance to win, versus the history of the NFL. The history of the NFL is no first-year quarterback ever has been to a Super Bowl, has never been in a Super Bowl who started, ever, never. Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes! Like, Trey Lance could be amazing. What are the odds he's Patrick Mahomes? Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith, they went to the playoffs year one with Alex Smith. Patrick Mahomes held the clipboard. Next year, he set the world on fire. I expect the same thing here, unless Garoppolo gets hurt, and he's injury prone. But if he stays healthy, he's the guy.
Max, I love the perfect experiment you just painted, because I'll paint an even more perfect experiment. Let's go back to 2012, San Francisco 49ers. They had Alex Smith as their starting quarterback. Solid quarterback, actually above average, actually, you could argue, star quarterback. He was third in passer rating. Then he gets injured in week 10. And who does he get replaced by? A more dynamic quarterback by the name of Colin Kaepernick. And what did Colin Kaepernick do during that year? Yes, it was a second year, and he played sparingly in year one, threw five passes. But what did Colin Kaepernick do during this the more dynamic player when he got a chance to get in? He only took them to the Super Bowl. the Super Bowl, Max. And so it's not about, okay, what was your passer rating last year and all this and all that. No, Trey Lance is a more dynamic quarterback than Jimmy G. At least that's what we all ascertain. A lot of us believe. Otherwise, we don't think the 49ers would have taken them. So Trey Lance, I believe, gives the 49ers a better chance of going further in the playoffs. Yes, we talk about injuries. Once again, Jimmy G when healthy is phenomenal. Jimmy G is also often injured. And so I believe that you're going to see Jimmy G start the season and play well, but all it's going to take is one little injury, and Trey Lance is going to get his opportunity. And you know what San Francisco is going to see? You know what John Lynch is going to see? Kyle Shanahan is going to see? They're going to see a super dynamic, athletic quarterback who can win games. It's going to fast forward and really backtrack to what happened in 2012 and said, man, you know what? Alex Smith, super solid, third in passer rating. But I like my odds, man. I like my odds. This guy's got something about him. And so I think that Jimmy G can start, but I think that Trey Lance will get San Francisco further along than Jimmy G will.
And I just want to ask real quick, Sam, is it just one little injury that's going to make the difference, or a screw-up on the field? Could that also be the difference maker?
No, it's an opportunity. All that Trey Lance needs is an opportunity. Oftentimes, you're a young quarterback, you don't even get that opportunity. Now, Russell Wilson, we saw in Seattle, he got it. He got the keys early on. But Patrick Mahomes, he sat his first year. He played in week 17, right? He sat year one, but he got his opportunity year two, and he shined. We don't know what's going to happen in Chicago. We all think that Justin Fields is going to sit, but I believe when he gets his opportunity, he's going to shine. Trey Lance, all that he needs is an opportunity. Jimmy G is a phenomenal quarterback, but he's often injured, and I believe that that injury that may happen this year, hopefully he stays healthy, right? Nobody wants to see anyone get injured. But if he does, and Trey Lance gets an opportunity, I believe that Trey Lance not only is running with that opportunity, but he's going to take San Francisco further than Jimmy G will.
Than Jimmy G would have. They can't both play quarterback. You know, I mean, if Jimmy G
hurt, absolutely.
I think that's a pretty good prediction. I think something like that is likely to happen too. And I don't know that San Francisco knows exactly how good they are, which is why they moved up, spent all that capital to draft a quarterback, even though they have Jimmy G. He is injury prone.
So just say, and, Sam, you're right. Sam,
but wait
you're
a minute.
Right. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, actually, I was very specific. And you might be right about this, too. You had a point you didn't even make, but you sort of alluded to. Eventually, one day, some guy in his first year probably is going to make the Super Bowl, right? Records are made to be broken, and maybe this will be the time. But if you're asking me what's more likely, a quarterback who, when last healthy, was one pass away from winning the Super Bowl, taking a team with a lot of the same guys on it deep into the playoffs, or a guy for the first time in the history of the NFL making a Super Bowl in his first year, I'll take the latter. Oh, sorry, the former. And your point about Kaepernick was interesting because you finally got around to saying it was his second year. In Kaepernick's first year, what did he have, five passes? He didn't play. He was dynamic, but he didn't play instead of Alex Smith. That's another dynamic quarterback who didn't. Patrick Mahomes, who didn't play instead of Alex Smith his first year. They learned. So in their second year, they were ready to set the world on fire. That ideally, I'm sure, for the San Francisco 49ers is what they hope for. Let Garoppolo stay healthy and let this kid learn, and then the next year he'll take us farther than Garoppolo could, hopefully, right? Although how much farther
Max,
can you go? But
Max, I gotta,
you're just yep. saying, like, well, Garoppolo will get hurt. Yeah, sure, it's likely, and that's why they have a guy waiting in the wings. What's more likely? Garoppolo, if healthy, keeping the ball, or Trey Lance taking it from him?
Max, you love using qualifiers. So I'll ask you a simple, straightforward, point-blank question. What's more likely, Jimmy G staying healthy or Trey Lance getting in there and making plays?
Trey Lance getting in there and making plays.
There's your answer.
No, because then he has to keep the ball. Then Garoppolo has to be on the shelf permanently. They have to feel if Garoppolo misses a game or two and he can take the ball back and they're in a position to make a playoff run, are they going to hand it to a guy in his first year knowing that Garoppolo's one pass away from winning a Super Bowl and no first-year player at quarterback has ever taken a team to the Super Bowl, ever?
Records are meant to be broken. You said it yourself. I'll just reiterate what you said, Max. Records are meant to be broken.
Okay, well, let's switch it over to the NBA, and I have a statement that you both are going to agree on. That is Russell Westbrook is great. He's a future Hall of Famer and one of the best players in the NBA, but his trade to the Lakers now lands him on his fourth team in 4 years, leading some people to wonder why he moves around so much. Now, Wizards and Capitals owner Ted Leonsis had this to say about the departure of Russell Westbrook. Quote, "We had a superstar player with the Wizards. He had an opportunity and wanted to be traded to the Lakers. And I was dealing with that as we were announcing Alex.
I couldn't help but self-reflect on what a difference it is. Here's a great player in Russell Westbrook. He played at OKC, wanted to be traded, went to Houston, wanted to be traded, came to D.C., wanted to be traded, and is now in L.A. He's an unbelievably great person and an unbelievably great player, but that's the difference between the NBA and the NHL, I suppose. And I just want to clarify, when I said they were announcing Alex, they were talking about Alex Ovechkin, also a superstar in his own league. So, okay, Max. Or no. Let's start with Sam here. Are Leonsis' comments on Westbrook fair or are they foul?
They're foul. They're all the way foul. It's out of bounds. Those are uncalled for. Let's not forget, if you want to talk about loyalty, like Max, you love basketball. Let's talk about loyalty. Russell Westbrook is loyal. He stayed in OKC for 11 years. The only reason he left is because everybody else was gone, right? Then let's talk about loyalty again in Washington. Let's skip over Houston, right? Go to Washington. The reason he wanted to leave is because Scott Brooks left. Like, he wanted to go follow his coach. He wanted to go win games. And all of a sudden, he leaves because they don't keep Scott Brooks. And so if anyone in basketball is loyal, Russell Westbrook is loyal. I think that the owner of the Wizards is just salty because they haven't won in a couple years. They haven't been to the playoffs before this man on the screen got there, hadn't been to the playoffs in 3 years. Obviously, Alexander Ovechkin, superstar hockey player. But also, let's not forget, they won the Stanley Cup in 2018. Washington has not been winning. So he's salty because Russell Westbrook's trying to go win a championship. But Russell Westbrook is loyal. He's one of the most loyal players in basketball.
I think Leonsis' comment is fair, but I don't think he's making the point he thinks he's making. I don't think he's aware of the point he's actually making. The point is he's comparing two leagues. He owns teams in each league. And he's taking the more popular league, the league with a far larger economy, the league that has far more cultural currency and relevance today, and is growing faster, right? Worldwide. He's taking that league and pointing out a difference with the way superstars behave. Now, I'm not suggesting that it's necessarily the case that it's causal. Superstars have so much power in the NBA, and therefore fans like it more. It's likely more correlation. One of the outgrowths of the fact that it's so popular is that players have gotten powerful, right? But if you want to make the point that fans actually don't want like a sclerotic, they don't want like a league where things don't happen, where play, I think a lot of the interest in the NBA is fueled by off-season and even in-season rumors and actual transactions that go down where guys switch teams. It's exciting. So I understand his point. That's why I think it's a fair point. I just don't know that he knows the point he's actually making. He's pointing to a more popular league and pointing out something that is endemic to that league. Okay, fine. The NBA and the NHL are different. Would you rather be more like the NBA or the NHL?
Yeah, and he's pointing it out about a player who specifically stayed in a small market, like in Oklahoma City. When James Harden left, he stayed. When Kevin Durant left, Russell Westbrook stayed. Like, he signed an extra contract to stay. And so if you're going to talk about that with anyone, talk about it about not being loyal with anyone besides Russell Westbrook. That's my take. That's my piece. That's my opinion. Russell Westbrook, in my opinion, is the model candidate, model citizen when it comes to being loyal to an NBA team.
Okay, guys, we're going to hit one more subject before we get off the air because the Bulls, they're not messing around in free agency. Now it gets better with the franchise finalizing a sign-and-trade deal to acquire San Antonio Spurs forward DeMar DeRozan, a source telling ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. Yesterday, DeRozan, he plans to sign a 3-year, $85 million contract with the Bulls when the NBA's free agency moratorium is lifted Friday. In exchange, San Antonio will receive forwards Thaddeus Young and Al-Farouq Aminu from the Bulls, as well as a future first round pick, that also according to Adrian Wojnarowski's source. Now let's not forget that there's guards Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso also coming to the Bulls. So Max, with this roster transformation, what is the ceiling for the Bulls?
Second round of the playoffs. I really like this. First of all, the mid-range game has been undervalued to the point where they give it to you in the playoffs and guys are eating. That's DeRozan, right? And the addition of Lonzo Ball, what team does he not make better? Rebounds for his position, plays perimeter defense, can do all kinds of stuff defensively to help you and without scoring the ball, but can also really shoot, takes a lot of threes, hits a lot of threes, and is a next level IQ genius passer. That doesn't work next to an underrated guy like Zach LaVine. And they have Vucevic, too. The Bulls are kind of loaded. I think they can win a playoff series this season.
Max, bottom of the conference. Maybe they make it in the playoffs. Maybe they make it in the play-in. I'm not intimidated by anyone on this Bulls roster. Yes, they're better, but it's almost like that New York Knicks example you made. Who are you really saying, man, this is a killer superstar. This guy is going to take us to the top. I don't see it.
Oh, Zach LaVine can jump over the moon and shoot the lights out from outside. Well, like, there's one. Vucevic is a load. He's a top 3-4 center in the East. And then you just add DeRozan, who's been to multiple All-Star teams, and Lonzo Ball is among the most underrated players in the league right now. That's a squad.
Okay, guys. Well, we have to let things stay right there, but maybe a question for another day. Who do you believe in more, the Knicks or the Bulls? We might talk about that later in the week. Guys, thanks so much. Everyone, thanks for hanging. See ya.